This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
While we give the high star a chance to settle in here. Wow, you're ready to go, huh? Mr. Ready. Snap of the fingers. Switching studios. Flies in on his magic carpet. I did want to clear up one thing. My pal Willis points out, very smart, just to finish up our conversation on the last caller that we had about Jacoby Brissett. It's a very fair point. Jacoby Brissett of the Colts, it would expose the Colts at not having a backup quarterback to Andrew Luck. He is going into the final year of his deal. Makes a couple of million dollars. I think it's 2.045 as a cap hit in 2019. So, you know, again, I could draft somebody. He wants to be a starter. And maybe the Redskins could take a little shotsky there and see what they could come up with. But it was an interesting little idea of a way to kind of get around a tough situation. All right, we'll get back to the football, I'm sure, tomorrow night. Maybe in the 6 o'clock hour, we'll see what we get back to. But, as you know, there's a guy named Bryce Harper, and he does not have a new team just yet. And Craig Heist covers the Nationals for us here at 106.7 The Fan, and he's a frequent host of Nats Talk Live after Nationals home games on the Nationals radio network, and he's camped out often at Nationals Park and at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. And you can follow him and also at Capital One Arena for Capital home games. And you got to turn on your microphone. Wizards home games, sometimes Georgetown, sometimes anyway he can get to an arena or a game.
Right.
He's there. And you can follow him at C-Heist Sports.
And we'll also say that Manny Machado still doesn't have a team or a landing spot.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
If anything does happen between now and the next update, mm-hmm. you'll have to let me know because I left my phone in my studio.
There. It's like the bat phone, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Does it just start like ringing off the hook? Like if something happens, burp, burp, burp. No.
No. Not unless it's the pizza joint down the road.
Do you get like a special like ringtone? No.
No.
Okay. All right. Don't wave at me. I was trying to have a little fun with you.
Okay.
Anyway. So, all right. Of course, we have to start with the Bryce Harper. And by the way, it's interesting because you've covered Bryce Harper and Manny Machado pretty much their entire career. I mean, Obviously Machado the last couple of months, and here we are with them the last two premier free agents out there. We'll get to what Manfred said. We'll get to the whole free agency system as a whole and all the criticism for it. But John Heyman of MLB Network and I think it's Fan Cred now.
Okay.
I don't know. He's taking that off of his, whatever. He recently, like last hour, the last tweet that I saw from him said, quote, with several teams, Harper Derby may take a few or even several more days. Mm-hmm. Besides favored Phillies, there are at least the Giants, Padres, White Sox, and perhaps incumbent Nats. Wash, meaning the Nationals, hasn't been at forefront but could come late. Rumor they have right to match at end is untrue, though. When you hear that report, I guess first blush, that the Nationals don't have the right to match at the end.
Well, there's nothing that says they have the right to match at the end. They certainly can if they'd like, or get up with their, you know, with Burris and Harper and right. see what the deal is.
Right, but that they haven't worked out some prearranged, you know, right. check with us kind of thing, that, you know, that apparently they, all the sleeping they've done with the Boris clan over the years, all the deals that they've done with the Boris clan over the years hasn't earned them that right to have, you know, one last crack at the apple. Does that surprise you, if that's true?
It doesn't surprise me if it's true, but I would say that the learners will probably have a say in this before it's all said and done.
Right.
Like, there's nothing etched in stone says that they have the right of last refusal or whatever, but, you know,
right.
we'll see what happens. I'm going to maintain what I've maintained from the very beginning on this, and I think that the relationship that Bryce has with the learners, especially Ted, is good enough that, you know, maybe Bryce comes back and says, you know, this isn't such a bad place after all. We'll see what happens.
Do you think it's possible that Bryce, at the end of last week, because, you know, I had heard that he had kind of initially settled on a team, and then they kind of moved towards a phase where they, whether they started notifying teams or whether they started to discuss contract terms with the team. Jim Bowden reported on Saturday morning on CBS Sports HQ that them and the, that Harper and the Phillies were rounding third, heading to home.
I saw that.
Heyman and
Nightingale.
And Nightingale, I guess it was on Sunday morning, both reported that the Phillies were way out in front. And then all of a sudden things started to change last night, where all these teams now all of a sudden were like back in the Derby.
Right.
Do you think it's possible that there's a lot of smoke being thrown around here about all these teams still involved in
it's
this?
It's Scott Burris.
Yes, I know. That's what I'm saying. do you think that this is like by your answer, it seems like you think, yes, that this is Scott Boras still trying to get the Phillies to add more money to the
table,
right?
I'm sure
that has
a lot to do with it. That was just like when Nightingale reported the certain amount of money that the White Sox were mm-hmm. offering Manny Machado.
Right.
And then the White Sox put out a statement totally debunking that.
And his agent
and
also
his
did,
agent,
right?
Right, exactly. And, you know, that's to Manny's agent's credit. He mm-hmm. all he's trying to do is drive the price up.
Right. So I guess ultimately, as we sit here at 5:13 on Monday, February the 18th, with all of these reports, and, you know, I've heard Heyman is very well connected with Boris. Very well connected with
Boris. No doubt about it.
Okay. So realizing that, and you're saying no doubt about it, so you must know the same thing. What do you believe is true? Let me phrase it like that. What do you believe, as we sit here now, is true?
This is what I believe. I believe the Phillies want to land one and or the other, mm-hmm. okay? That said, I really do believe that with the money that was out there initially from the Nationals, if somebody offers Bryce considerably more with the amount of time, length of contract, he's probably gone. To me, there's been no real indication of that. This offer from the Phillies, supposedly, that's out there now, is a little bit more than the $300 million.
Right. David Sampson, former Marlins president, said yesterday the rumors are, he wasn't reporting it.
Right.
But he was speculating, rumors, whatever. And, I mean,
and
obviously, he's got
really
some
context. That's really what anybody is doing right. at this point, right. Chris, is speculation right. on it.
We don't know if it's 10 years, $310 million.
We don't know. But, I mean, to Mike Rizzo's credit, you know, he said before the free agency period started, mm-hmm. here's the offer, it's on the table, but after this, there's a cutoff date because I've got to start putting together a team.
Right.
And then we see, you know, the Nats go out and make all the acquisitions they made for the starting rotation, for a bullpen or two spot, and also the catching spot. Dozier at second base. I mean, these are all parts that Rizzo put together for this team for 2019, right. even if Bryce doesn't come back. because with the depth in the outfield being what it is, they can move forward with or without Bryce Harper. Do I feel like this is a better team with Bryce Harper? I do. But again, Bryce is probably weighing some things himself. He hit 230 for the majority of the season last year until after the All-Star break and winning the home run derby. His average got up to 255 there for a while. It snuck back down under 250. The power numbers were there, 100 RBI for the first time in his career, the 35 home runs. But here's a guy that's had a real good year, an MVP year, and a couple of years where he's been hurt, where the numbers haven't been there and not up to Bryce Harper standards. If this happens in Philadelphia, he's not going to get a pass up there like he does down here.
No.
Okay, not just by the media, but you know the every way which way it goes.
The media and the fans.
The fans are going to kill him up there.
I mean, if he thought last year the criticism in the first half were rough, was rough here, it's going to be a thousand times worse in Philadelphia. I mean, as we saw, and maybe it's an overreaction, the Philadelphia fans booed the Eagles off the field at halftime in the season opener last year after they won the freaking Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, and it's going to be – that's why I didn't think Philadelphia was a great spot for Bryce. Now, you've covered him his entire career. And could you answer this? Do you believe – some people say and swear that it that boos and criticism and – you know, tough media and all that would not affect Bryce in any way, shape, or form. I contend it would. I contend that he is not looking for that vicious, tough media, vicious, tough fan base. Do you believe...
I don't know why I'd want to go to New York, man.
Well, right. Well, because I think he's, you know, always was in love with the whole Yankee nostalgia and all that stuff. I don't think he was ever thinking really necessarily from a media perspective. Do you believe he would handle that well?
I don't believe he would handle it well or when, like, things got a little difficult here. Mm-hmm. You go into a little cocoon for a while and you don't say anything to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That could certainly be, you know, one of the things that happens in Philadelphia. And you brought up the Yankees. There's something in the back of my mind that still says Manny Machado could wind up in New York with the Yankees.
Right. Even though
the Padres have that ridiculous offer out there for him and a couple others.
All right. So we'll get more on Machado in a little bit. As far as Bryce goes, we know that the Nationals are pretty well set up. Clearly, I want to revisit something you said about Rizzo, where Rizzo and the Nationals made the offer. We know what Mark Lerner said on the radio station to Grant and Danny.
Yeah.
We know that, as far as we know, they have not made a second offer.
No, I don't think they will.
Okay, at all.
I don't think they will, no.
Okay.
But, I mean, this to me is going to come down to the hierarchy of the Nationals, meaning Ted.
Right.
Even though he's given control of the situation to Mark, I just think that Ted Lerner, if he wants Bryce Harper here, he'll be here.
Do you think that if they were to bring back Bryce, however it gets done, do you think that there would be an impact elsewhere on the future of this team? Meaning, they've already committed all this money to Patrick Corbin, to bringing in Yan Gomes. Not that that's a huge deal, but all the other improvements, Dozier for the 1 year, granted. But clearly, the Rendon situation is looming overhead.
That's probably the biggest thing,
right?
You know, Anthony Rendon is probably the most underrated third baseman in all of baseball. Offensive numbers are there. His defense is superior. You know, does he get the accolades that Nolan Arenado does? No, but he is every bit, in my mind, as good. And what he's provided for this club when healthy down through the years. And they've got to seriously consider whether Anthony's going to be a part of this club going forward.
if they
now, when you get into when you get into a situation of whether this is going to bother Anthony,
no,
he just goes to his own beat and doesn't say much of anything to anybody.
If they brought back Bryce, regardless of what the final numbers are, and again, I realize it's still an outside shot, right? Regardless of what the numbers are, and regardless of Rendon status, and regardless of the luxury tax. Do you think ultimately Eaton's gone, or is it Michael A. Taylor that's gone?
I would think it's Eaton that's gone at this point, yeah. And because Michael A. has flexibility, not just center, but he could play a corner if need be, that kind of thing.
And he could easily come off the bench.
Right, exactly.
Pinch runner, pinch hitter, pop, good defensive replacement late in games, all
exactly.
that stuff.
And I would hate to see Adam Eaton go because to me— at the top of that lineup with...
He was much better in the second half.
Trey Turner, yeah, absolutely. When, when he's at the top of that lineup with Trey Turner, that's pretty formidable, and that can set the table for the middle of the order. And when you're talking about getting on first base to get to second base or hitting behind the runner, those two at the top of the lineup, in my mind, are kind of invaluable to set the stage for Soto and Rendon. You know, straight on down the line. And if Harper is here, that's even a bigger thing. But if he's not, then I think this team can survive without Bryce Harper. But do I think they're a better team with him? Yes, I do.
All right. A couple more Harper questions when we come back, because I want to ask you about the impact of if Philadelphia truly is out front and truly the leading contender, as everybody is reporting and everybody is mentioning, what impact that might have on, again, this decision for Ted Lerner ultimately to say ultimately no, don't answer it now, and also what it will be like that second series, especially when he comes back in a Philadelphia uniform. So I want to get your thoughts on that.
I think we know what it'll be
I mean, yeah. Well, just save your answer. You'll have the flash coming up. And then we'll actually talk about the Nationals roster, spring training, of course, full squads reporting already. We'll talk about baseball free agency. If you want to weigh in on Harper, if you want to weigh in on Manny Machado, if you want to weigh in on baseball free agency, what Rob Manfred had to say, and as well the Nationals, again, getting going down in West Palm Beach. Spring training is here, baby. It is baseball season, and it is underway right here on The Fan. Little sweet soul.
Little Gino Vannelli.
There you go.
Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, okay, good enough.
I just want to put you in the mood.
Well, don't do that with you sitting across from me. Anyway.
Baby, come back.
That's right.
Anyway.
There was something in everything about you. Believe me. Yeah.
There you go. All right. Just after 5:30 on The Fan, one more hour to go. We'll turn you over to Virginia Tech basketball at that point. Caps and Los Angeles Kings to come. 10:15, the pregame there. Take you into a Tuesday morning. I'll be back on at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning with the Junks, and then I think I'm back on at 6:30 tomorrow night for overtime, I believe. I got to double-check my schedule, so we will have all sorts of things going on for you. All right, so here's the question. If you guys want to hop on in, you can as well, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. So, again, right now, it looks like Bryce is waffling all over the place. He just can't make up a decision. Maybe there was the initial decision. That's what I was told. Again, it looked like Jim Bowden was told the same thing. It looked like everybody was kind of told the same thing. All these reports emerging that Philadelphia was the clear favorite, blah, 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 whatever. Now it looks like, again, according to Heyman, who, whatever you want to say, he's sparking this derby. Maybe now there's no decision. Who knows? If Philadelphia is the clear favorite, which many believe it is, what impact do you think those reports will have on Ted Lerner from the standpoint of not only does he realize, okay, Bryce, we're going to lose Bryce, but we're going to lose Bryce in the division to one of our chief rivals and competitors.
Well, it makes a whole big difference, right, if you're the Nationals,
right,
because, you know, if he goes to San Diego, for example, or the Giants, for example, those are, you're only going to see them two times during the course of the year. One series here, one series in their home park, and they're out of your division. So it's not like he's doing a lot of damage to you.
If you see them in the playoffs.
Right, except if you see him in the playoffs. If you have to face him 19 times during the course of the year, knowing what his numbers are like in Citizens Bank Park, in that ballpark,
yeah,
and knowing how much he rakes up there, then that's going to be a concern for the Nationals. Now, like I said before, I think everybody needs to keep this in mind. I say they're a better club with Bryce than without him. That said, there's been enough done, I think, by Mike Rizzo to make this a very competitive ball club as long as people stay healthy. And he went out and added two pitchers to what is already here, and he's got some depth at the rotation. I'm sure he'd like to add something else, maybe between now and the time the season rolls around. Whether that happens or not, we'll have to wait and see. But I think position by position, especially with the signing of Dozier to play second base, who knows what that means for Howie Kendrick when he's finally back and healthy in terms of how much outfield he plays, how much infield he plays. Again, it's going to be a club that's pretty deep with or without Bryce. So we'll see what happens.
So I guess, and I agree with you. Again, going back to the original question, do you think it's possible that they, whoever it was, leaked the whole Philadelphia thing to try and A, get Philadelphia to up their offer, but also B, to try and wake up the Nationals, because ideally, if all things are considered equal, Bryce would like to come back here unless he's getting blown out of the water by somebody and thinking that, you know, look, if he's not going to get a long-term deal from San Francisco, ideally San Diego is a year or two away from competing. The White Sox are a year or two away from competing. His best chance of winning a World Series anytime soon is the Nationals, right? If we dangle Philadelphia out there publicly, leak it out there or whatever, then that wakes up, again, Ted Lerner and the Lerner family, and maybe that steps, you know, up their bid.
It could, but to me it's all speculation until something happens.
Right.
And again, I'm going to find it hard to believe that the Nats aren't going to have a say in this somewhere before it actually happens.
I would be very, very, very disappointed with all of the deals that they've done with Boris over the years if they weren't. I mean, again, Heyman is saying, contrary to belief or contrary to, you know, rumors, that they aren't, like, to me, they're owed at least that.
Yeah.
From Bryce and from Boris.
Oh, absolutely.
They're owed at least that. I mean, otherwise, like, and I understand that that relationship has been somewhat mutually beneficial to some degree. I mean, I think it's been more beneficial for Boris than it has been for the Lerners. But I also understand that the Scherzer deal has been very, very, very beneficial for the Nationals and for the Lerners, because not only has Scherzer been great for the Nationals, but Scherzer has come at an astronomically favorable financial structure.
If there is one person who has earned every bit of a long-term high-price deal, it's been Max Scherzer. Now, let's go.
But it's not even that high price considering the deferral.
Well, yeah,
deferral,
absolutely, considering when it was done, right?
And the deferral and all that stuff.
Let's go back real quick and take an examination, and this might lead you in a little bit of what Manfred was saying. There were two teams over the luxury tax last year, the Nats and the Red Sox. As it currently stands right now, it's my understanding that without signing Bryce Harper, the Nats currently are under that luxury tax for this year.
Right, so they would go over it to sign him.
To sign him, right. That said, the Major League Baseball has gotten themselves into a quandary here in that, you know, you're not being paid. If you're a free agent, you're not being paid for what you've done in the past.
Right.
In other words, in your 20s, as you're making your mark through, the early part of your career,
right.
And then you get to your 30s, or you know, you get maybe 30 or 31, and you're wanting that big time deal. Teams aren't giving that anymore, and this is going to eventually, in my mind, lead to some very big labor unrest in the next 2 years when the CBA is up.
Oh, there is no doubt about it, because you know, not only are teams looking at not being able to pay just for the past performance,
right.
But they're also looking at it just from a business sense of, we not only can we not just pay for the past, but because the future is unknown health-wise and it's all guaranteed and all that, because of the luxury tax, we don't want to be above that tax,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, we have to pay whatever the penalties are.
Right.
And it would prohibit us from resetting or from adding a certain piece that we desire at the deadline or in free agency. And for instance, like Philadelphia, right? If they add Bryce, I think they're like $40+ million right now under. I mean, if they add Bryce at, say, $32, $33, $34 million on average, I mean, it squeezes them from being able to maybe add, another starting pitcher or another, you know, or a legitimate closer. Because I don't know how,
right.
I don't know how legitimate. I mean, David Robertson is a legitimate closer, but he's not a great closer.
No, but keep in mind this, too, from a pitching standpoint, Jake Arrieta is dealing with, you know, some minor injuries,
yeah.
right now. So as he gets older, his health comes into question.
Right.
You know, the greatest example of this, but this goes back years, was when, you know, the Orioles and Mike Messina wound up, you know, Messina takes 3 years below market value.
Right.
And got literally ripped, gave the Orioles the hometown discount, essentially, got literally ripped by Tom Glavine and the Players Association. Mm-hmm. Because at the time, Peter Angelo said, well, you know, we'll never pay a pitcher $5 million. And then what do? They turn around and give Scott Erickson 5 years. How'd that work out for them?
Mm.
You know, so one guy's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Right, right, right. And here's the thing,
but
right?
But that example, though, that goes back years.
Right, right. And here's the thing. These players, and I've always contended this about Bryce, right? Like if Bryce wanted to give the learners, if he wanted to work with them just because he felt, you know what, I don't want to turn my back on D.C. It's comfortable there. I know the culture, the climate, blah, 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 all that stuff. Like, then he's got to contend with, again, you know, the unrest, if you will, in terms of the players' union. And then he hurts, theoretically, the impact. Or that has an impact on Manny. It has mm-hmm. a trickle-down impact on Trout.
And there's already enough players
yeah.
saying that, you know, the owners are, call it collusion if you
yeah.
want. But there's a lot of people, player-wise, feeling that
right.
way at this point.
Right.
And some of them have voiced those concerns.
Yeah, I think the players are crazy.
Right. Well, I do too. But, yeah. you know, but here's the other part about it. You know, I get your point on that. But, you know, Bryce doesn't know anybody anything.
No.
Really.
No.
You know, if he wants to be, you know, I'm saying nice guy, well, at $30 million a year,
right.
nice guy. But if he wanted to do that, he could do that.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I mean, at one point, you're trying to figure out how much is enough.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's just me, a guy in radio talking.
Yeah.
I'm not an athlete
about yeah.
ready to make that kind of money.
I mean, here's the thing. What we don't know. It, like, people keep saying, well, if he takes 310 from Philadelphia, just or 315, you know, why did he bypass 300 from the Nationals? Number one, we don't know if that 300 is still on the table. We think it's off the table.
As far as I've heard,
right.
it's off.
Right. So we don't even know if it is. And again, even if he would have taken that 300, A, it was in September, one, and it would have denied him the opportunity to shop his services and explore the right to be a free agent, number one. Number two, as far as we understand, there was some deferrals and there was no opt-out. It really wasn't as fair of a deal from the Nationals
no,
as everybody has painted it out to be.
No, but, well, it's still a lot of money for
it is
for a good long time.
But it was structured and if you believe the Nationals.
Bryce, well, yeah, but I mean, they do those deals all the time.
I understand that
where it's mostly backloaded.
I understand.
Okay, but if you're Bryce, you would have done yourself a disservice by not testing the market to see what you're worth.
All right. We'll get to James in St. Pleasant in just a couple of moments. James, hang in there. I meant to get to you. Just hang in there. I don't want to cut you off and be unfair to you. Craig Heist is with us in studio for the remainder of the hour. We'll finish up with the Heist star in just a couple of moments. We got to get to Machado on the other side as well. James, as well at 800-636-1067 on the Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
On the Nationals Radio Network here on 106.7 The Fan. And we've been talking a lot, of course, about Bryce Harper, some about the Nationals reporting to spring training and their roster. Let's get to James in St. Pleasant here on The Fan. James, thanks for hanging in there. How are you, pal?
Not bad, guys. How you doing?
Good. Good. What's going on?
Well, not much. I'm looking at this from a few different perspectives. And I don't really see how this doesn't get done. And I think there's one thing that many people haven't really considered at this point, and that is I don't see, if Philadelphia is in the lead, that their offer is going to be out of this world crazy. I feel like Harper wants something north of 325, which would put him ahead of Giancarlo Stanton. But beyond that, I don't see it going too much higher than that, maybe 350, 375, because if he's at 400, remember, in 2 years, Mike Trout is going to be a free agent who is determined to come home.
Right.
Do we really see Philadelphia wanting to or even being able to spend $1 billion on two players?
Well, that's why another reason why I didn't honestly think he was going to wind up in Philadelphia, besides the fact that I didn't think Philly as a city was a great fit for Bryce because of that ultimate eventuality of Trout. Now, I mean, again, we all, like all the baseball insiders, thought Patrick Corbin was going to wind up with the New York Yankees, and he ultimately signed with the Washington Nationals, right? So, I mean, you can't always guarantee that stuff. But, yeah, I don't see any way, especially with all this luxury tax stuff that Heisty was talking about, that you could sign Bryce Harper for whatever he's going to sign for and Mike Trout. But I don't know. Maybe the Phillies can figure it out, but maybe they're not willing to guarantee or wait around for another couple of years to sign Trout. I don't know.
I think, though, for me, he's the unquestioned number one player. And to have, you know, Harper's one thing, but to have somebody who's a homegrown boy right there from Vineland, New Jersey, a stone's throw away from, you know, their park is, to me, just, I just don't see them mortgaging the future to not be able to get him. But more importantly, just like you said, we talk about us having to face Bryce that many times, if he's with Philly. Well, he's already had to face Philly that many times. He knows what it's like to play there. And, you know, it's like being president. You age a lot more when you're in the White House than you do, you know, not in it. Mm. And with Philadelphia, it's not like D.C. You know, you're under that microscope 24/7, 365, and they are ruthless. I don't think, you know, the same amount of money is equal to the same amount of money here, just simply due to the fact that, you know, it's much more relaxing. It's, you know, it's not as stressful, you know?
That's a great point. Heisty is like a Philadelphia tax.
Yeah, it is. That's because if he signs there, he's got to understand that that's going to be part of everything that goes with it.
Yeah. You know, and actually, we probably did a bad job not talking about the whole Trout factor. I guess just because you can't guarantee that Trout is actually, I mean, even though all the stars are aligned for Trout to come eventually home and everybody thinks that's going to happen, I guess, you know, Philadelphia's got to try and figure out, okay, how to do it now and how to win now. But it looks like they have this plan. They've had this plan all offseason, right, to spend this quote-unquote stupid money. And maybe they don't think about going over the luxury tax like the Nationals do. James, thank you very much. Appreciate the phone call. It's a good one.
Well, you know, here's the other thing about it. The stars were aligned for Bryce to go to L.A.
Right.
Once L.A. made the trade with the Reds that they made, because everybody thought, well, that's going to free up the money, Kemp out, you know, and that's going to free up the money, you know, for Bryce to go to L.A., and that hasn't come
with
to fruition
Kemp
either.
And Yasiel Puig.
Right.
Or maybe L.A.'s jumped in here at the last second, and nobody knows. And
nobody knows.
Reported that. Let's get one more in here before the top of the hour. Colin is in Rockville on the Fan. Colin, how are you?
What's going on, guys?
What's up,
how
Colin? What's going on, man?
Not too much. I mean, I've been hearing the Bryce Harper talk all day long, and I think really the question is for the Washington Nationals is, do they want to win a World Series in the next 2 years, or do they want to try to, you know, win it in the next 10? And if you want to win it in the next two, you got to make the best offer to Bryce Harper, because pitching wins games, wins close games, but it's home runs that win World Series.
I totally disagree with you on that. I think you're wrong, because you see in the postseason where starting pitching, especially if you have the Verlanders of the world and the Scherzers of the world and the Kershaws of the world, that means a lot to a team trying to win a World Series.
You're talking about Houston. I mean, how did the Red Sox get it done this year?
Well, the Red Sox had some pretty decent starting. What do you call Chris Sale?
Chris Sale's an amazing pitcher. I mean, if Chris Sale, I'm saying that you can get amazing pitching, but if you don't put up hits, that's it. You're not winning games.
I understand that, but runs become more of a premium in the postseason.
What I would say is you need, of course, I'm not being Sherlock Holmes by saying this, you need that good balance. The Nationals have had, I think they've had pretty decent starting pitching in the postseason.
They really haven't hit.
I wouldn't say they've had dominant starting pitching despite a heavy investment in it in the postseason. At times they had Strasburg at Wrigley, you know, of course, in their last postseason. But they haven't had dominant starting pitching, and their offense has been, again, inconsistent. Sometimes it's been there, sometimes it has. They haven't been able to put it all together. The Red Sox last year, the Astros 2 years ago, they've been able to get both things working in concert, which is, of course, what you need. That's the problem. The Nationals haven't been able to get both working in concert with each other. So I don't think it's home runs. I don't think it's just starting pitching. I think ideally, and again, I'm not saying anything that is that earth-shattering here. You need both
working in concert with each other. You need to score runs. There's no question about that. But to win in the postseason, on average, you really need the starting pitching. You need a really good bullpen to be able to shut the other team down in the late innings. And now, anymore in the postseason, you see where teams are using their starting pitchers two innings at most.
But would you say with the Nationals' belief, the Nationals' core belief is starting pitching, starting pitching, starting pitching,
there's
right?
no question about it. That, would to me, is what – I believe Mike Rizzo in that. That, to me, is what wins over the long haul.
Would you say they've gotten that payoff in the postseason, that for that core belief and the investment that they've made, would you say it has paid off for them in the postseason?
I wouldn't say it to, I mean, but let's look at Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer when he starts has been very good in the postseason. The one time that he wasn't very good wasn't necessarily all his fault, but it was in that fifth inning.
Right.
Okay, where he came in and the wheels kind of fell off the cart. You had a misplay by Rendon. You had a ball that dropped in.
Right.
Think about Strasburg out in Wrigley Field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was all kinds of debate about whether he was going to start, whether he was sick, and he went out there through the game of his life.
No, he's. I mean,
and got the series back here.
I mean, there's been some off Strasburg starts. There's been some.
Well, and
there's been a couple of.
You had off Gio starts too.
Yeah,
because in the postseason, Gio was basically a five inning pitcher.
Yeah, there's been some poor Gio starts, and that's I guess what I kind of focus on. Then Strasburg game one against the Giants in 2014, he wasn't very good. So, there's been but then Jordan Zimmermann game two was very good in that. I would say it's been a little bit up and down. I mean, it's been. It's been fairly good is how I would describe it. Maybe I'm being a little too harsh, but I would say I wouldn't say it's been dominant. Maybe it's been good or fairly good. Heisty, thank you, pal. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thanks for hanging out with us. You've got one more update to do here?
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll come back and do a final segment of radio.
And I'm going to stick to what I said. I think there's still a 50-50 shot. He comes back here, and if I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, listen, I I'm going to be ultimately wrong somehow, some way, and it's not going to be the first time.
Yeah, but
it ain't going to be the
last. That's the way
time.
You live.
Exactly. I'm always living on the edge, pal. Always living on the edge. All right, we'll take a final timeout. We'll come on back and wrap things up here on a Monday night on The Fan. All right, thank you very much, High Star. So, final 15 minutes or so, maybe 18 minutes. It is the Rooster, Chris Russell with you. And for Dukes, take you up to Virginia Tech basketball. So, a couple of things I wanted to clean up here. I keep getting people that just will not leave me alone. They just do not realize that situations and stories change. It is just incomprehensible how people do not realize this. Thursday afternoon, I got word that Bryce had made a decision on a team that he wanted to go forward with. Now, that did not mean that he was signing right away with that team. That was beginning the process of then working out a deal, which, of course, at this point, not worked out a deal. And then, at that point, mentioned that here on this radio station Thursday night, that I'd heard that. And then I mentioned that on WIP in Philadelphia on Friday morning at about 11:30, right? So that blew up. Then, at about 4 o'clock-ish, roughly, Friday afternoon, got another call from same source. Something significant had changed based on some unpredictable factors, right? So what happens is, perhaps when Scott Boras and his people start to make decisions moving forward. They reportedly, I think it was TalkNats 2, said the Philadelphia Phillies had finally made their first official contract offer to Bryce Harper and Scott Boras on Friday. Ironically, interestingly enough, that day, just out of the clear blue sky, interesting that they chose that day, right? So then some things change, right? Maybe teams that Bryce isn't going with, Giants, Padres, maybe the Nationals, catch wind of this. Then all of a sudden, they start making more calls. Hold on. Hey, hang on. Then all of a sudden, things open up again. And Bryce, oh, wait a second. Maybe we should take our time. Hit the pause button. Are we doing the right thing here? Maybe we can get more. Maybe we can get more leverage. Maybe this was a calculated thing to see if we could start telling teams, hey, we've gone with another team. Appreciate your interest, but, you know, unless you could dramatically increase your offer, we're going to go elsewhere. That's what happens. That's what happens. And yet, there are a lot of idiots on Twitter. A lot of idiots on Twitter, and I run into all of them. This one guy, the TV answer man, who's lighting me up right now, accuses me of winging it, saying my report was weak. And he's not surprised it's turned out the way it has. He says, I should be surprised that some pubs actually wrote about it. Really? What do you know, pal? You know nothing, number one. Let's start with that. Number two, you have no idea what I know. You have no idea where I got my information from. You know, you have no idea that I got the meeting with the San Diego Padres, right? You have no idea that I knew about the meeting with the San Francisco Giants 2 days before anybody did. I didn't report that because I didn't have a second source on it. Grant Paulson knew about it. I knew about it. We both knew about it. We as a team made a choice not to report it for various reasons, none of which are your business. We mentioned it on the air. We did not go hard with it, but we did not make an official report about it. But we mentioned, hey, look out for the San Francisco Giants. Both of us did. We knew about it, though, 2 days before it became public. So don't tell me sources and stuff like that. Get out of here. Go kick rocks. Go kick rocks. Now, name me one time that a major decision has been made where somebody hasn't had some reservation, or that you haven't made a major decision in your life where you had some sort of reservation or some sort of change of heart or some sort of second guessing, or the situation changed or a complication occurred. That happens. It happens in life. I love how people are Twitter tough guys, keyboard warriors, and think that I have nothing better to do than to try and get everybody upset and everybody up in arms and lie to people. Do you think that I have nothing else to do in my life than get publicity for myself? Do you have any idea how much bleeping angst I have been under for the last 5 days because of all you dumbasses? All of you people that have no idea what you're doing, all of you suck. All of you. Those of you that have half a brain, thank you. Just going to be honest. Thank you for having some common sense. You understand that situations change. That situations are out of my control. I can only go based on the information that was presented to me. that people have change of hearts, that other factors change. Oh, by the way, again, I should point out Jim Bowden. Now, some people don't like Jim Bowden, and I'm not saying I don't know Jim Bowden from a hole in the wall. Here's what I know. Jim Bowden was a former general manager for the Cincinnati Bengals and the Washington Nationals. Jim Bowden, right, has been around baseball his entire career. His entire career. He's worked for ESPN, CBS. He's worked for The Athletic. He's worked for all sorts of different. Jim Bowden, Saturday morning, the Philadelphia Phillies and Bryce Harper are rounding third and heading home on a deal. The Phillies are a clear number one, and the Nationals are distant two. Does that sound like that is refuting my report? Or does that sound like Jim Bowden is saying Bryce Harper's made a decision here? Or at one point, Bryce Harper made a choice to go forward with the Philadelphia Phillies. Now they're trying to work out a contract. Now they're trying to cross all the T's and dot all the I's. Does that sound like that? Or when John Heyman came out yesterday afternoon with the first of his multitude of reports and said the Phillies are the clear choice or the clear favorite, but no deal has been done yet, before a flurry of reports that added the whole world is back involved again. You know, everybody from the Padres to the White Sox to the Giants to the Seattle Mariners to the Yankees to the Dodgers to the Oakland Athletics to the Yomiuri Giants. You see where I'm getting at? So I guess I just made up a report. TV answer man at Swanee on TV. I guess I just had nothing better to do. And then there's another guy that I just, you know, see right away on my Twitter timeline, questioning, not knowing who my source is, but is it possible the celebratory mood was simply a reaction to bidding finally reaching Harper's desired terms rather than an actual decision? It's possible. But that's not what I was told by a source involved in the situation. Again, but situations change. And that's why I'm always leery to get involved in this stuff. Because I put my neck on the line, and then people, which I have no control, right? I have no control over people changing their minds. Or teams or situations going haywire after an initial decision is made. Like, I remember plenty of times on the Redskins beat, right? A decision is made to cut a player. Or a situation is made to trade a player, and then they can't trade them, so then they wind up cutting them. But you say, well, the Redskins are trying to trade such and such player, and then they wind up having to cut them. So the situation changed, and then your report looks erroneous. It's not, but the situation changed. Factors change. Happens all the time in sports. It happens all the time in society. Happens all the time in life. Now, there are times where there are erroneous reports. There are times where people are irresponsible. But people don't want to understand that. People don't want to believe that. People don't want to hear that. They just think they're just because they're Twitter tough guys, that because something is not concrete, black and white, and doesn't happen exactly that way, that somebody put out an erroneous report. they don't believe something could change. So, anyway, just wanted to clear that up and just make sure that you guys understand how this process works, right? Just want to make sure that you guys understand. You know, like, I not only represent me, but I also represent the radio station. If you think that I'm trying to make the radio station look bad, you're out of your freaking mind. You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. If you have any idea how many things I've swallowed and had to bypass and had to sit on and had to dismiss because, you know, because you just didn't feel good enough about it, because you just didn't have enough of a credible gut feel about it or source on it or information on it, or you sensed something was wrong on it, or you couldn't confirm it with somebody else. You know, again, people just don't make this stuff up. What about, it's possible that John Heyman could be being led wrong. It's possible, guys. It's possible. Whoa. Wow. Now that could be mind-blowing. What do you know? John Heyman is well known as a reporter mouthpiece for Scott Boras. Craig Heiss said the same thing. It's known. Aaron Hawksworth said the same thing. And that was from somebody in the Boras Corporation. That's a known thing. And yet, I'm the fool? Come on, please. But situations change. Situations change all the time. And make no mistake about it. I'm not putting this radio station nor my credibility on the line and being reckless. Again, a situation might change and I might ultimately look bad. I didn't look bad here. Jim Bowden and every other national reporter reported that within, 48 hours of what I reported on this radio station and WIP in Philadelphia, that the Phillies were the absolute number one contender, by the leading contender. How do you think they got that information? How do you think they came up with that? Where do you think that came from? What do you think, that just fell from the freaking sky? Just because it hasn't happened? Just because one reporter is now talking about the Yomiuri Giants being back in the sweepstakes? Give me a break. Get out of here. Get lost. Go fly a kite. Go kick rocks and pound sand while you're at it. Give me a break. Unreal. All right, I'm out of time. Ben, I appreciate it in Rockville. I just saw you. I'm sorry. I appreciate it. I'm not looking for props or any. I just wanted to correct a couple of fools. One fool on Twitter. And I probably went way too long, but you know, I meant to get to other things. It just infuriated me. It just infuriated me that people would think I would put this radio station in jeopardy. That infuriated me, so I apologize. Thanks to Sean on the other side of the glass. Thanks to Brock for all of his help. Thanks to you guys for listening, calling, participating. Thanks to Craig Heist. Virginia Tech next, then Caps Kings after that. Adios.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.